Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. This morning I'm going to speak on some inquiries that I received via email. One is from a disciple who, in the course of book distribution, had met a Seventh-day Adventist. Seventh-day Adventists are one of the many sects of Christianity. They're here in India also. They're all here in India. All the major Christian sects are here. So he got to find out about, and I, via him, got to find out, and now you're going to find out about Ellen G. White. Never heard of Ellen G. White before. Seems she's a big shot, now a dead shot, in the Seventh-day Adventist world. She was a mystic around the 1940s. I think died in 1946 or something like this. And she was a profuse writer. She had many visions of God. She didn't say what he looked like. She had lots of visions of him, but she didn't say what he looked like. At least I didn't get any information that she said what he looked like. And the thing that impressed the devotee who wrote to me the most, actually this is how the point came up, because the devotee speaking to the man spoke about how the modern cities are full of sinfulness. And then the man said to him, yeah, that's what Ellen G. White said. So she wrote a lot about, get out of the cities, they're full of sinfulness. Protect your children from the depravity of the cities. Go to the country, grow your own food, vegetables, fruits, grains, produce eggs, because the Seventh-day Adventists are vegetarians, but according to Western understanding of vegetarianism, at least it used to be, eggs are vegetarian. And that's also there in India now, among some people. But most of they used to be for some time, an understanding that eggs are vegetarian. It was like being introduced into India. But now they just drop that and they just eat meat and everything. So what do they care whether it's vegetarian or not? So this devotee was impressed, it seems, and quoted what it is. He made an article quoting her extensively and asked what I thought about it. It's not necessary. She's got nothing to say that Prabhupada and Shastra haven't told us. So although we may sometimes quote different sources which are not exactly to the line of Vedic understanding, to show for this, not for our sake, for the sake of people who are not convinced about our message, we may quote so-and-so said something, and they're, because they're more impressed by so-and-so than they are by Vyasadeva, their faith is more in so-and-so, whoever it may be, Einstein or Miss World or Sachin Tendulkar. I say Sachin's name a lot, don't I? It's because everyone's crazy about him in this country. Yeah, well, that's why Pepsi Cola, they have Sachin also, right? Because if they put my photo there drinking Pepsi, they wouldn't catch me drinking Pepsi anyway, even if they paid me a crore rupees, whatever they pay him. But that wouldn't induce people to drink Pepsi. But if they put Sachin's photo, then people are stupid enough to, even though they know that he's getting paid to have his photo. I think he's with a Pepsi, isn't it? It's one of them. I don't know. Something like that. There's some cricketer or someone holding a Pepsi in the photos that you see everywhere. So even though they know he's getting paid to promote it, still they buy it. I guess they do, otherwise they wouldn't use this system of advertising. So like that, we may quote. Although I don't, we shouldn't quote Sachin Tendulkar. Sachin Tendulkar. See if if anyone happens to play this lecture after 20 years outside India, no one will even outside India, in America, they don't know who we're talking about, because they never even heard of cricket, let alone Sachin. You see how ignorant and backward the Americans are. We have to give them Indian culture. Cricket. So, what was I talking about? Yeah, there's no use to quote him on the Bhagavad Gita. If he quote, what's his qualification to speak about anything on Bhagavad Gita? I mean, he's not an intellectual of any sort. But we may, just like this Krishna book, I personally sold thousands, and many others sold many more thousands, just by showing the name of George Harrison, who Prabhupada liked him. He was a devotee of sorts, but if we quote Prabhupada and Madhvacharya and Ramanujacharya, they're much more qualified to speak on Krishna book, on the value of Krishna Leela. But because people know George Harrison, he was an immensely famous and popular figure, then just by showing his name, practically we sold so many books. So we may do that. If you ever happen to address a group of Seventh-day Adventists, you might quote Ellen G. White, who said a lot of good things, no doubt. But the problem is that it's mixed up with, just like eat, produce eggs. Actually, the hen produces eggs, not you, but maybe they'll make some kind of genetic modification where you won't need to keep chickens. Your wife can lay. Your wife can lay. You never know what these people are doing, you know. They'll grow on a tree. Egg trees. Yeah. You never know. Everything. But the problem with quoting these people, especially if you quote them extensively, then it gives them a lot of credence, which means, you probably all don't know what that means, it means it gives them a sense of justification, or we believe what they say. Just like there was a time in ISKCON, it's a little out of fashion now, when we heard a lot of devotees quoting Stephen Covey. His name used to be quoted more than Prabhupada's by some. Covey said this, Covey said that. So he had some good things to say, no doubt. But when I first picked up one of his books in the office of a temple president, I flipped it open to see what's all this about anyway. I'm talking about Kavi, 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 Kavi. So I saw there was a list of his idea of the qualifications of a perfect person, what you should be like. And one of the things it said in the list was, he becomes no one's disciple. So how far do you want to follow Kavi? He's saying one of the qualities of his idea of a perfect person is that he doesn't become anyone's disciple. Although he himself is known as a New Age guru, and he's giving him, and practically, at least those devotees, they became his disciples. And even one temple president, he left his post to become a full-time Kaviite. He would give seminars on Kaviism and charge a lot of money. So there's a problem with extensively quoting. Just like this, one of the things of Ellen G. White was, you have to get out of the cities and go to the country because Jesus is coming, of course. That's what they've been saying. This idea that Jesus is coming, now it's 2,000 years gone, but they had the idea when Jesus first left that he's coming just now. It's just a matter of days. Then it got extended to 2 or 3 years, and it's been 2 or 3 years ever since. It's always 2 or 3 years away. Maybe during the so-called Dark Ages or Middle Ages, I don't know what happened. No one knows that much what happened during that time, but at least since I've been a kid, it's always been 2 or 3 years. It's always just now coming. Coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. In fact, during the notorious Bush administration, which is just finished less than 4 years ago, there were, because that was strongly the government of America, because that was strongly linked with the evangelical Christians, then there were members of that administration who, in response to the environmental problems, they say it doesn't matter if we mess up the earth, because anyway Jesus is coming soon and it's going to be the end of the world, so what, don't bother about messing up the earth. So you know, in some ways you can have some sympathy for Dawkins and company. You know, atheism is stupid, but this evangelical Christianity is, if possible, even more stupid. So we don't want to get mixed up with these kind of ideas. She was probably thinking in 46, he's coming in 47. But you know, that's what, 66 years now. And still no sign. Well, they can see many. They will see so many signs. You see, there's disturbances on the earth, but that it's always been there, especially in Kali Yuga. And we think, well, it's getting really bad now, isn't it? We never had all these tsunamis and natural disasters. Well, it's going to get worse, folks. But then they quote the Book of Revelations, which when I first read that as a kid, that's the last book in the Bible, at least in the most common edition of the Bible, because they're all different kinds of Bibles, and some have more books, and others have less books, according to what some people some hundreds of years ago decided what the Bible should be. It sounded to me like someone had dropped some acid, as we used to say in those days, taken some LSD and written something. It's just Srila Prabhupada speaks about in the Bhagavad Gita, he speaks about the affective hallucinations Want to look that up? Affective hallucinations. And they're taken as like scripture by foolish people. Look up the word affective, A-F-F-E-C-T-I-V-E. Affective means emotional, I guess you could say. Affective hallucinations. They're taken as spiritual revelations by stupid people. You got that? Found it? Just look up the word affective. It doesn't come much in Prabhupada's books. It's right there in one of the Gita purports, I believe, under the... it's in the fourth chapter, that Tavita Raga Bhayakrodha. It's in there, you got it? What does he say about the affective hallucinations? They're taken as? Affective hallucinations are sometimes accepted as spiritual visions. By who? Taking shelter of some kind of intoxication. Then you get back to the book of Revelations, yeah? Sometimes accepted as spiritual visions. I suspect Prabhupada was referring to the... here he was referring to the Ramakrishna Kathamrita or something like that. There's volumes and volumes of books which... Prabhupada said he probably got it from his guru, who was a younger contemporary of Ramakrishna, who said, Ramakrishna never wrote, and he never said so many things. One of his followers used to get drunk, and then he'd write things, and that was it. So no doubt there are many mystics, and they have some insights, and some of them may be in concord with the Vedic message to some extent. So Ellen G. White, her advice to go to the... leave the cities, go to the country. The cities are full of vice. So all right, that's good. We can accept that. But we don't need to hear it from her. Better to hear it from Prabhupada along with the sane message of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which describes the symptoms of Kali Yuga. There are so many mystics. Most of them are in impersonalistic, what are called mystics. I saw some book by Satsarup Maharaj. I mentioned this several times before. He read a book about the Saint Teresa of Avignon or something like that. Sounds like French, but I believe it was in Spain. She had all these visions of, I don't know, these mystic outpourings of love of Christ, which is off anyway, because Christ isn't God. It's a misunderstanding on which, it's the first misunderstanding on which Christianity is based. There are several. Another is that Jesus died to take away our sins, and whoever believes in him is saved, and whoever doesn't goes to hell forever. I mean, it's just very strange from the very basis of it. So anyway, she's having all these emotional feelings for Jesus, and Satsarup Maharaj is reading it and making comments, and then toward the end of the book, it's like he didn't read the whole book before he started commenting. He's reading and commenting as he goes along. And towards the end, they find there's a passage in which someone comes across her eating venison, which is deer's meat. And he questioned her on that. What are you doing? I guess not because it was non-vegetarian, because they didn't have any idea that non-vegetarian was wrong, but just because it's some luxurious food. And she said, there's a time for prayer and a time for eating venison. That was her reply. It's not ahaitukiya pratihata bhakti. So, Krishna consciousness also doesn't mean just bashing everything else in the world. It doesn't only mean that. That's part of it. Pashanda dalam. But we should know that although some people may have some insights, unless they have clear understanding of who they are, who God is, what our relationship with Him is, what is the nature of the illusion by which we are in this material world, then we're going to make so many mistakes. Just like so many people become atheists because they see there's so much suffering in the world. And they think that, well, God should have made this world nice for us. If there can't be any God because the world is miserable. And there are others who see the world as nice and think, well, it's God made it nice for us. All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the good Lord made them all. So I heard in my childhood. So there are some people who think the world is nice, but it's only bad because of Satan. Yeah, again, stupid ideas. Competitor with God. So, some people may have some insights. That, and that's also given to them by God. Because all matasmriti jnanam apohanam cha. All knowledge, all forgetfulness comes from Him. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out that there are many people throughout the world who have some insights into truth. But if you pursue their philosophy, their understanding further, you'll find that it just, they have some glimpses of light, if I remember exactly. But if you try to understand what they're saying overall, it just ends up in darkness. They have some little vision, but their overall picture is not clear. So many people, they have some insights. And in fact, many of the great writers in the Western world, writers of literature, they've become well known, not just because of their literary style, but because of their insights into human nature and into the nature of the world. One reason Shakespeare is so famous is because he's English and the English happened to conquer the world. So they promoted him like anything. But he also had many insights into the nature of the world. Srila Prabhupada would quote him sometimes, "The whole world is as a stage." So that's one insight. "A rose would smell as sweet by any other name." And so okay, he got some good insights. He has no clue as to what the purpose of life is. So we don't want to get too much into Shakespeare, or anyone else for that matter. And nor for that matter, L.N.G. White. So better stick with the Vaishnava Acharyas who can tell us, just like Krishna told Arjuna from the very beginning, what is the actual nature of reality. Arjuna had some good insight. Actually, all the points Arjuna made were good. If you see, there's nothing wrong with the points he made. But because they were not within the context of understanding the whole picture, therefore they all became useless. So Arjuna said that if the women are not protected, then they'll become corrupted. Strishu dushtashu varshnaya jayate varna sankara. The women are not protected, they'll become corrupted, and then the unwanted population will increase. It'll be a social disaster. So, Krishna, he didn't refute Arjuna's points, but he just told him that you missed the real point. There's another point which is far more important, which you missed altogether. That everything in this world is temporary. It's not the first time Arjuna heard all these things. He'd been hearing all these things throughout his life, but just to get it clearly in context, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. So it's better that we hear from proper authorities who have an overall clear understanding of reality, which is Krishna and our relationship with Him. Otherwise, if we quote others without that clear understanding, then we're going to introduce all kinds of strange ideas. And in fact, quoting others who are outside the sphere of clear understanding of Siddhanta, that is best done by those who do have a clear understanding of Siddhanta, who can contextualize it, put it in the right understanding. Just like one of my godbrothers, he often used to quote this from Shankaracharya, Shabda Jala Maharanyam Kevala Chitta Brahmanam, that the words are like a net or a massive forest. So either you get, a net is something you get, or jal in this case, it may mean just like magic. It's like something illusory produced. Got lost there? Like magic, shabda jala. It's like Indra jala means magic. Do you say that in Hindi, Indra jala? Nowadays you probably say magic, isn't it? Just magic, English word. So it means magic. So it's like some illusory representation. It's like being in a big forest in which you just get lost. And kevala chitta brahmanam. It simply confuses the intellect. So, that can be quoted, but not in the way that the impersonalists quote it. Can be quoted by Vaishnavas also in the sense of tarka apatishta, that argument, simply by argument, nothing can be established. And for that matter, shutiyo vidinna. The Shrutis are very different. Vibhinna means very different. Actually, this very statement should be contextualized, because Sarve Veda Yat Padama Mananti, all the Vedas point to one thing, which is Krishna. So, that point, there's quoting different things from different people may be done, but better not to quote extensively from sources other than those who are directly in contact with the Absolute Truth, which for us means Prabhupada, basically. Now we have access to so many different acharyas, but Vaishnava acharyas, but for us, we quote Prabhupada, and we understand as Prabhupada presented to us. Then others may be quoted, but we should be a little careful in quoting others. And there's no real need to make any extensive study of different seers and mystics and philosophers. That may be done to some extent by some specialists within our movement. If they're just like Srila Prabhupada wanted devotee scientists to, in scientific terms, debunk Darwinian evolutionary theory. So to do that, one would have to study in depth Darwinian evolutionary theory. And in writing to debunk it, one would have to quote it extensively, but then immediately show the faults in it. So that may be there for some specialists. It's not necessary to do with everyone. There's no need to make an elaborate study of Ellen G. White.